时候。
Remnant
to escape and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little revival in our bondage. I can just sense such sadness and spirit in Ezra as he's going before the Lord. And I sit early this morning and sitting in the chair in that evangelist hall, and if y'all would have walked in, y'all probably would have thought, what in the world is wrong with that guy? But I just sat there with my Bible in my hand, just weeping before the Lord. So I know we get caught up in who's here and not here from time to time, but I'm not worried about it. Amen. It doesn't bother me one bit.
Amen.
I told Pastor Watson I have preached all by myself, literally, thinking that I had a Facebook audience, and the whole time the phone had stopped recording, Brother Crabtree. But I'll tell you what, I was giving it all I could all by myself.
Amen.
And for a little while this morning, I would like to talk to us on this thought: we need revival.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We need revival. Will you put your Bibles down and pray with me this morning before we get started? Just asking the Lord's help.
Thank you, Lord. We need you, Lord.
Hallelujah, God. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, God, for everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you would touch and bless this awesome congregation,
yes, Lord.
Those that are here, and even those that are not here,
yes,
God,
Jesus.
You would touch and bless them in a mighty way. Help us to be more hungry than we've ever been for the things of God. Lord, bless this service today. Help me, Lord, to do a good job in just a short while, and help me not to defame the name of the Lord in all that I say and do. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amen.
Be seated this morning. What a privilege, what an honor, amen, to be where we are and to encourage the people of God and remind us today, I said remind us today,
yes,
that we need revival. And I said, and I thought about that this morning, and you have to understand, I had everything figured out, Pastor Watson, before I ever got on the way to Florida. I already knew what I was going to preach. I had a couple messages prepared last Sunday before we ministered in Madison, Georgia. And God said, you know, pretty much go this way. So I said, okay, well, that'll be the one I preach in Florida then. Well, it wasn't. So God, about 8:30 last night, begin to shift gears and change, and I'm not going to say mess everything up, because God's going to have it His way. But I know that I'm standing before you today with a word from the Lord for you. Amen. To let you know and to let me know that we need revival.
Amen.
We need revival. Amen. Our land needs revival. Amen. The church of the living God needs revival. What are you talking about, preacher? I pay my tithes every Sunday when I go to church, and if I don't go, I mail them to them. Well, that's good, and congratulations for that, but you still need revival. When I'm faithful in prayer, I pray every 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, well, that's good, congratulations, but you still need revival. Yeah. What are you talking about, Brother Happy? I've preached thousands of sermons. I have thousands of sermons in my library at home. Well, that's good, Pastor Watson, congratulations. Let me have all them notes when you get finished with them. But you still need revival. We all need revival. Ezra went before God because the people had given themselves over to idolatry. Amen. Worshiping false gods when there's not but one, and they knew better. Their life and their everyday started with Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt worship the Lord, that one God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. We need revival of Deuteronomy 6 and 4 in our homes. We need to teach our children Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O children of mine, in the Hampton house, there ain't but one God, and His name is Jesus. We worship that one God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we have to remind them every day as they have all types of distractions. Amen. And they face things on the day. They live in a sick world. We are living in a sick world that's in need of revival. The people of God, we need to be revived more than anybody else. The people of God, we need to live in a state of revival. Amen. Day out, every moment that God allows us to breathe, we need to live in a state of revival. Our children, our grandchildren, they need to see us living in a state of revival. I know we have aches and pains. I know we may get sick from time to time, and I can't help that. I get sick from time to time too. But the world does not need to hear us bellyaching about how bad we feel. They need to see us praying to God of heaven. They need to see us praising the God of heaven that can bring back those backslidden children after all these years. I know how they are. They complain. They fuss. They say, why would God allow this to happen? Well, God is a sin. That's why sin made it happen. God is not allowing certain things. We still live in a sinful world, don't we? We still live in a world that needs revival, but the world will never experience revival if the church of the living God is walking around defeated all the time. Amen. We need to remind ourselves that that same God in heaven is the same one that can encourage those that need encouragement. He can heal those that need healing. He can save those that need saving. He says God's got plenty of forgiveness to go around to those that don't mind humbling themselves and coming to an altar of prayer somewhere. Ezra said, give us a little reviving in our bondage. There's plenty of bondages of the world to go around. And I don't have to name every one of them. You know them just like I do. But the biggest thing that people of God come in bondage with a lot of times is that one that looks back at them in the mirror. That one that they look at keeps them bound a lot of times because we become discouraged enough. The mindset, well, I'm just living for God all by myself. Nobody in my family really cares much about living for God. My kids are backslidden. They're going to a church that believes in three. Amen. But I still, in the midst of all that, we still have to stay encouraged. We still have to serve that one God. And in the face of all that, our children, the ones that's backslidden, they're still looking for somebody that has truth. They're still looking for somebody that hadn't shacked up with the parasites, the Moabites, the termites, and everybody else. They're still looking for people, Pastor Watson, that has a relationship, amen, with that great God of heaven, amen, that has a prayer life. They've been called upon him, whether they're sick, whether they're healed, whether there's plenty of money in the bank account, they're still calling upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Can you worship the Lord this morning? God is so good to us. Amen. Ezra, he said, God, will you lighten our eyes? Amen. I believe that God is gracious enough to his people. Amen. That even in the midst of such darkness, that God can lighten our eyes. He can open our eyes that we can see his goodness again. Ezra went on to say in verse 9 of chapter 9, he said, for we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage. Amen. If I could just encourage somebody, maybe you're not even in here. Maybe you're watching by one of these videos or that World Wide Web that brother's going to have us on over here. What is that thing called?
Vimo.
Amen. Out there in Vimo land. Amen. God is still God. Amen. You may have experienced some bondage. Maybe your children are in some type of bondage. But can I tell you that when you call upon the name of the Lord,
right.
Amen, when you repent before a holy God, amen, when you let God know that you're sorry enough, amen, to walk away from it, and not just sorry enough to say, I'm sorry, and continue in sin. The Scripture said, I'm sorry. This ain't none of this in any note that I have. I hope it's okay. But I think it's in the book of Hebrews. It said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
All right.
We live in the world that lives under the facade of Christianity. Everybody's saved. Everybody's going to heaven. Amen. The problem with that is they're calling upon the name of Christ and hiding behind the term of Christianity.
Amen.
And their life is chaos. Amen. They're still living in drunkenness. They're still shacking up with the people of the world. They're still trusting in the almighty bank account. And the Scripture said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God has been good to us, my friend. Amen. And that's why when I pray just like I did a while ago. God, help me not defame your name. I don't want to stand before God and get charged with defamation of character. There are many people that's going to stand before God one day. He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. You defame the character of Jesus Christ, and I don't even know who you are. But God, I've done all these great things in your name. I pray for sick people in your name, and they were healed. I cast out devils in your name, and then they were set free. Yeah, it's because of the name. It's not because of any power that I might have. It's because of the name of Jesus that those people were set free. It's because of the name that people were healed. It's not because of the flesh. I like what Daniel told old Nebuchadnezzar. In my mind, y'all, I done read so much and got so many messages on my mind. I'm just putting them all together. You know, I hope it's okay. But Daniel stood before Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel chapter 2, and when Daniel was about to give old Neb the interpretation of that dream, he let Nebuchadnezzar know. He said, it's not because of anything that I am. I'm not anything special, Nebuchadnezzar, but there is a God in heaven that gave the interpretation of the dream. It's because of that God in heaven that I stand before you and do this. And it's because of that God in heaven that's gracious and merciful. And Ezra said that he's given us a little space with grace.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we live in an awful place. Our children are not where they should be. Yeah. Many well-meaning grown folks are not where they should be. Amen. There's a lot of people that's given over to a lot of different things and a lot of different spirits. Amen. I hope I don't get in trouble, but people are walking and bowing to a lot of different spirits. And you know, I just don't know. In the world that we live in, God told Paul to let the Corinthians know to come out from among the world and be separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. I don't know how you feel about it, but the more I grow in God, the more I desire to want to grow in God, there's even a greater separation. There's a greater space between me and the world. And look, I'm of the opinion, I don't think that people ought to ever get so righteous and holy that they look down their nose on everybody. Because the same God in heaven that robed himself in flesh, looked across the multitude of people. And when he got off that boat, amen, and the Bible said that he saw them.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. People of God, we need to see people.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. You know what you do when you see people? You ain't looking at yourself. Jesus got off the boat and he saw the people. And the Bible said that when he saw them, that he was moved with compassion.
Yeah.
Amen. We need to look at people Amen. And not look at ourselves and look at people with a spirit of compassion. The same compassion that God in heaven had on you and the same compassion that He had on me. We ought to share the same compassion with even those that fall and bow their head every once in a while. Paul said that answers for some of you. Amen. There's a lot of people, they fall and bump their head. They want somebody to turn the card in or something.
Yeah.
I don't have no card to turn in. I don't carry a license. The only license I carry is my driver's license.
Yeah. Come on.
And I try to carry with me, I hope I can say this right, the license with the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Amen. That's really all that matters to me. I'm not knocking anybody that does have a license, but I don't think God is going to call me a bastard if I fall and bump my head. Amen. He's not going to put me out in the orphanage somewhere and not be my daddy anymore. If our children bump their head, amen, and they, like my children, I mean, I don't know if they watch this stuff or not, but, you know, they've given themselves over to things that's not godly and not Christ-like, but I'm not going to stop being their daddy because they're not living for God. No, I want to be the daddy and praying for them. I want to be the daddy that's looking across the field, that's looking down the road, amen, looking with eyes of compassion, waiting on those children to come back home. You know what? When they come, they ain't going to come by themselves because I got some little grandgirls that's going to come right behind them when they come in. Amen. God needs His people to quit looking down their long noses of judgment and look with eyes of compassion. Because that great God in heaven, right in the middle of their bondage, has not forsaken them. He didn't forsake you, Pastor. He didn't forsake me. He didn't forsake you for the mark. You ain't always been holy and sanctified. There was a time when you were out there too. There might have been a time in all of our lives whenever we, you know, kind of fell off the wagon a little bit, so to speak, and bumped our spiritual head, and maybe said something that we shouldn't have said, maybe gazed in a direction a little bit too long, and looked at something a little longer than we should have, maybe drank something we shouldn't have drank. God didn't forsake us. No, God was there waiting all along. He even quoted it to me the other day, I think it was Pastor, what Jesus said, that I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He will never leave, even when we do something stupid. He's still there. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. God has not forsaken us in our bondage, but has extended mercy. I'm so thankful for the mercy of God. Amen. He's extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, right in the middle of an ungodly world. There is a faithful Savior that's extended His hand out to His people right in the middle of everything. The world will see a merciful God extending His hand to us whenever we got our mind right, whenever we're living the way we need to live, whenever we're asking God, God, give me a reviving right in the middle of this bondage. I know we feel bound because this world is not our home and we're just passing through because we got treasure laid up somewhere beyond the blue, is what the song says. And the angels beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I refuse to feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. God, right in the middle of the sight of the kings of Persia, Ezra said, to give us a reviving, hallelujah, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. I'll try to speed this thing up a little bit. I don't want to put nobody to sleep. I'm trying not to. But the Scripture said in the New Testament that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And God will give us a reviving while in this earthly tabernacle that we are living in right now. Amen. There may be things that we've done to our bodies that can't be undone. Amen. Maybe they can just be covered up. But all I can tell you is, in my own limited vocabulary, is that there is an awesome God in heaven that will give us a reviving right in the middle of the bondage of this world, and the whole world will see that God's people are blessed. God is so awesome to us.
Yes, He is.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I do use my phone for more than just to talk on or text while I'm driving. But I don't know when I made a few notes about this. But I want to share them with you, if that's okay. If it's not, I'll just pull my coattail. If you do, I'll just take it off. I'm just kidding. In Luke chapter 5, we need revival, don't we?
Amen.
I might need revival if this preacher knocks me out or something. I get out of hand. Luke 5 and verse 12, it says, "And it came to pass, when he, being Jesus, was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And verse 13, it said, "And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will." I will. Leprosy represents sin, nothing that we don't know. Leprosy is like cancer. Amen. Sin is like leprosy. It's contagious. You hang around a sinful person long enough and lay down with a sinful person long enough, it's going to get all over you. And it's going to spread throughout your spirit like leprosy. But this unclean man, he said, if you will, God, if you'll just touch me, I believe you can make me clean. And the Lord said, I will. If the people of God would just come to him with that type of spirit, I think God will tell you, I will heal your body. I will save your backslidden children. I will forgive you of your sins. I will help you. Amen. For right where you are. The problem is, we just get so caught up in ourselves and what we see.
Amen. Right. Sure. Yes, we do.
That we're not looking for Him. But if we'll look to Him and look for Him, amen, I believe that we'll find a God that will pick us up. And He says, I will help you right where you are if you'll come to me. I will heal your body. I preached last Sunday, amen, a call of distress, a cry of distress. David said, "In my distress I cried unto thee, and you heard me." Amen. Afterwards, there was a sweet young lady that came up for prayer, amen, and she cried out unto the Lord harder and more sincere than anybody that I've ever heard pray in my life, I believe. God, you've done it before. God, you healed my body before. And God, I believe that you're going to do it again. And I don't care what the doctor said on this past Thursday. I believe that in an apostolic church right there in Madison, Georgia, when that little short lady from Carrollton, Georgia came up for prayer, I still believe that God touched her body. And I still believe that God is going to touch her body. God's going to give her a touch. He says, "You come to me, you call in the middle of distress, I will. And then we let the mind say, we let the enemy get into our head way too easy sometimes. And we question the sovereign God that has everything in control in the palm of his hands. God knows, amen, what you're going through. He knows what you need in your life. And this leprous man, he left that day. Amen. When the Lord said, I will, be thou clean. It said, and immediately the leprosy departed from him. Let me fast forward just to verse 17. It says, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Listen, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them.
Amen.
Yes.
My. That was Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
This leprous man knew that he needed a touch from the Lord, and the religious congregation needed nothing. That's a problem with us. Many times we live in such an awful world, and we get so comfortable doing the minimum. We get so comfortable just coming to church. We get comfortable. We get comfortable in our place, and we don't like it when people come and they sit in our place, so we have to move to another place. The place where we usually sit is comfortable. But nobody bothers us.
Yeah.
Nobody's messing with us right there. So we do the minimum. We come and sit in our place so nobody will bother us. And we pay our tithes, and we may clap our hands a little bit.
Come on now.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You may get happy.
Yeah.
Come on.
You preach it.
Come on.
Preach
it. Even the bare minimum.
Amen.
Go back out the door.
Yeah.
My God, you preach.
All alone. The man of God is preaching his guts out until he near about passes out. He probably preaches until the socks fall down. I know it's not all about it. This said the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Amen. Over in the book of Mark recorded, he said that he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief.
Yeah.
I believe that there was something special going on when the Lord was teaching to these religious demons on this day. God, in all his sovereignty, knew that he had the power there to touch this religious congregation, but apparently they didn't need anything. The leprous man, in a state of being full of leprosy, he was in his state of being full of leprosy. He had more in his mind right than these religious people that supposedly had everything together. Amen. These religious people, they appeared to be all well, but the scripture said that the Lord was present to heal them. Maybe it wasn't an exterior thing, but there was something going on the inside of these religious people, and they needed a touch from what God had for them on that day. They needed a healing that only Jesus could do for them. And they needed something from the Master, from the Creator of everything. Amen. But they, in their mind, didn't need anything, and they let the healing that they needed leave their presence, or either they got up like people do, day in and day out, Sunday after Sunday, when the power of the Lord is present to do something special for people, to touch young people, to fill them with the Spirit, amen, to give them something life-changing that will sustain them from week to week and from day to day, and they leave the same way that they came in, because just like these religious Pharisees and doctors of the law, they left not needing nothing. And they stayed in the spirit of bondage. Amen. Maybe it was their attitude that was sick. Maybe it was the feeling they had towards sick people. Maybe this is what had them on their deathbed. The way that they treated their fellow countrymen.
Right.
Had them afflicted. And they didn't even know it. Don't you know that the way that we treat people can afflict us just like leprosy? Yes, it can. The way that we treat people, especially those of like precious faith, can damn and condemn us. Or it can help us to help somebody see Jesus as He is. And right in the middle of their bondage, they can have a reviving. Amen. Is that okay? These people
They would go through the motions of fasting and praying and appear to afflict themselves, but still be uncompassionate to the needs at hand, not realizing that the revival and healing they needed was right in their midst. I'm reminded of that man that lived in the cemetery in the land of the Gadarenes. Amen. The Bible said that this man was full of demons.
Amen.
Legion of demons. Lived in the cemetery, cutting himself, just making a bloody mess, howling like a wolf or something, naked. But he saw a man get off the boat one time on the shores of Gadara. And there was something special about this guy that could make an everlasting change if he could just get to where he was at. He didn't allow the legions. I've heard a lot of numbers just like you. 2,000 to 10,000 demons. We can't even get past ourselves sometimes to get to where the Lord is at.
Amen.
My gosh, help me, Jesus. This people of Gadara had an opportunity to embrace or just let them walk away. I preached a message one time when deliverance leaves town. The scripture says that they prayed him. They begged him to depart off of their coast. They didn't want anything that he had to offer. And he left. If you do a little research on that place of Gadara, you'll see a place of desolation. A place where not much is going on anymore. Amen. Because when deliverance was there to help them, they prayed that deliverance would just leave and they'd not bother them anymore. You know, people can, I'm not trying to ramble over, people can come to church. I've seen it, y'all seen it, and I ain't nobody's judge. I'm just trying to obey God and hope I'm doing okay at it.
Amen.
But we've seen people come to church and deliverance be there to help them.
Mm-hmm.
The good people, the ones that do support, Brother Watson, they do support. They take care of things when it needs to be taken care of. I'm not downgrading anybody. Please don't take it that way. But if we ever reach a state in our spirit to where that we feel like that we're content and we don't need to grow anymore, I'm sorry to tell you, but we're already sliding back. Jesus didn't say, if the lost hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. He wasn't talking to lost people on the Sermon on the Mount. He was talking to his disciples.
Right.
Am I right?
Yes.
He said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. People of God, if we can stay hungry and thirsty after righteousness, amen, God can help us in the middle of an ungodly world. He can help us to stay revived right in the middle of bondages everywhere, right in the middle of the world is saying, ladies, pull them down, men, tighten them up. Amen. He can help us to stay clean and holy.
Yeah.
Amen. He can help us to grow and stay sanctified.
Right.
The power of the Lord was present to heal them. And they were of the mindset that I don't need anything. I'm not far from being done. Amen. There is something worse that's worse than physical sickness. Amen. That is a callous heart that doesn't recognize the need for spiritual healing. A heart that's been broken that holds up hands of resistance and stops the flow of the Holy Ghost from performing the intended work that He wants to do in your life. A soul that feels all alone and figures, what's the use? Nobody in my family really cares to live for God. So the need for healing and renewing is denied. Can I tell you that Jesus is in the house today? Don't deny yourself the healing that you need. Don't refuse to work for the Spirit in your life. This morning, it may seem like that I'm preaching. preaching to the choir. If you're in the choir, then that's good. I am preaching to you. And I'm preaching to anybody that'll give an ear, including myself.
Bless him, Lord.
Don't refuse the work of the Spirit.
Come on.
Yeah. This morning. Amen. Later on in Luke chapter 5, the Lord healed the man of the palsy. Amen. He told him to rise and take up his bed and walk. Immediately he rose up before them all and took up that whereon he lay.
Amen.
I don't always recommend this, but sometimes when the world has seen us fight, when the world has seen us struggle, when the world has seen things that had us bound, not being able to come and go like we need to. Whenever God touches you sometimes, whenever He heals you of your affliction, whatever it may be, let's just say for instance that God healed your lungs and you didn't need oxygen anymore. And the world knew that you were bound by that oxygen tank and just couldn't come and go like you pleased. But you were in the same house one day that Jesus was in. And Jesus reached down and touched your body. He touched your lungs.
Yeah.
You didn't need that oxygen no more. Amen. Amen. And that God in heaven touches you so you get up from where you are. You get your little tank that you roll around that's got the oxygen on it. Throw the cord over your shoulder, that little poly cord that all the air flows through. Throw it over your shoulder and drag that thing up and down the block so people can see you dragging the appearance of your bondage. It don't have you bound no more, but it used to have you bound. They see you dragging that oxygen tank around, but something's different now. You don't have that little cord stuck up your nose anymore. Amen. Because the God of heaven has healed you and given you a revival. Right in the middle of your bondage. Amen. The same God that has touched many, He can touch you up in this place today. Amen. That man took up his bed and he walked right in the presence of them all. Amen. They had a choice. They could glorify God right where they were, or they could criticize the God of heaven. Who is this that forgives sins? Can't nobody do that but God and God alone. Well, that's exactly right. Because Jesus was God in the flesh. He could say, thy sins be forgiven you. Get up and walk. And the man walked. Took his bed with him and went to the house. The scripture said in verse 26 that they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear. Listen. And said, we've seen strange things happen today. I don't know how you feel, but I want to see some strange things.
Amen.
If it was strange to them, I want to see some strange things. Amen. I want to see somebody get healed of their spiritual leprosy. I want to see somebody's body get touched today. Maybe those ankles is hurting. Maybe it's your knees. Maybe it's your hips. I don't know. But I know that God is able. I know that He's willing. The scripture, He told the lepers, He said, I will. If you want it bad enough, then God will. God may help you see some strange things in this place today. Amen. I want to see something strange. I believe that God still does strange things, don't
Amen.
You?
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
All things are possible.
Amen.
To him that believeth.
Amen.
You believe in God. If the world calls it strange, let them call it strange. I don't care. All I know, I came in sick and I'm living whole. I came in bound. I came in with shackles on my feet, and I'm not shackled no more. But I came in with handcuffs, but God has set me free. He has given me a little reviving right in the middle of my bondage, and all the world has seen it.
Right?
Aren't you thankful for the power of the Lord? Amen. I promise I'm hurrying up. Y'all ain't in no hurry anyways, are you?
No.
That's what I'm talking about. Acts 2 and 12, it says that they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? There's some strange going on. What is this supposed to mean? These people are drunk. They're full of new wine. Peter stood up when he uprested the 11. He said, these men ain't drunk like you suppose.
Right.
He didn't deny that they were drunk. He just said they weren't drunk as you suppose.
That's right.
I'm okay getting drunk on the Holy Ghost, ain't you?
Amen.
He said, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel.
Amen.
Amen. They've seen people speaking in tongues and magnifying God as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Yes.
Accused them of being drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning because it was the third hour
Come on.
Of the day. And Peter just let them know they ain't drunk like you suppose, but they drunk on something special. Amen. It may seem a little strange to you. Amen. But God, the same Holy Ghost that God filled them with on the day of Pentecost has done something strange and made people question is the same one, amen, that will fill people today. He quoted Joel. He said, in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit
amen.
On all flesh. I'm thankful that I'm living in the last days.
Yes.
I'm thankful that God is still pouring out His Spirit. Amen. On whosoever will, can you go ahead and stand with me this morning? And I'll try to quit somehow.
Listen, Lord.
Man, I could just turn all the way through this thing. Something strange happened to that man that was sitting at the beautiful gate, wasn't it? He was sitting there with his cup. I don't have a cup to make noise with, but anyways, he was sitting there with his cup. He was making noise, jingling, aggravating people. Hey, I did learn something the other day. I know I'm trying to close. I don't want you standing too long. The Salvation Army people done got lazy. I walked into a Walmart. They were sitting out front. He's just sitting there chilling. Looked at me. I walked on by. He went, man, I wish I had something to show you. He went, Jane. I remember when I was a kid, those people were relentless. Ding, 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 ding. Somebody just driving somebody crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Standing up by their container. This dude was sitting there like this.
Ding.
Ching. He didn't have missions at all. I know it sounds funny, and it is. I like to make people laugh. You probably know that by now. But if God in heaven is passing by
God.
You right now, and you knew that you wanted to do something to get his attention,
right.
I think we would do more than just
God.
I believe that man will send him a question to the next. Make it all kind of noise. That's how he ate every day. But by making a little noise and by somebody else's benevolence, there's a great God in heaven that's passing by your view right now.
Amen.
And if you need something from him, you need to go ahead and let him know. Here I am. Here I am. Let him know what you're going to be doing this morning. I believe that God can help you and do something special for you. I believe that we can see some strange things happen to you. Amen. Your children might say, my God, Daddy, what's wrong with you? You've been preaching all these years, the pastor in the church, there's something crazy about you. There's something strange about you. Yeah, baby, there is something strange about me because I realize that in my elderly state, whatever you want to say, or in me being real seasoned, I tell the bell myself. I realize that I still need the great God in heaven to look down upon me. Yeah. Right now, even with all the mess and all the positive of life that people have, that people bring to me, and I realize that God is still there. God had forsaken me in the spirit while I'm in this bondage, but God is there to help me. Peter and John walked by this guy this day, and it was the last day that this man ever had to say it. Amen. Right before the gate of the temple, jingling, making noise, waiting for somebody benevolent. Peter finally had enough. Peter probably saw this guy before. It probably wasn't the first time that Peter saw this man sitting at the gate, but it was the last time that he had to sit there and watch everybody going into the house of God, worshiping him and magnifying him. God helped him right in the middle of his bondage. God brought him up so he could go in. Amen. God is going to bring us up right where we are. Amen. So we can go in, so we can get closer to him, so we can be more in his presence than we've ever been before. When our children look at us, they can say, I can tell that my daddy has been with Jesus. I know he struggles from time to time. I know that he goes through a lot on his job. I know he may not come home in the best mood all the time, but I know deep down in my daddy's heart, he has a heart and mind to live for God, and God is going to help him right in the middle of his bondage and give him a little reviving, because grace has been giving us a space just for a little while. God is still showing His grace.
Amen.
Showing His mercy.
Amen.
But there's coming a day.
Come on.
That He might show grace and mercy on him.
Amen.
He's coming back.
Yes.
They won't spit on him. They won't nail him to a tree.
No.
They won't lash his back.
No.
With a whip.
Amen.
But they'll bow before him.
Come on now.
I tell you, this message was awesome today. Amen. He always preaches good, but he did extraordinary today.
Amen.
He could go to Brother Woods's, and I could say he gave his all right here today to preach for us. Amen. I've said that to him, but I was just saying it jokingly with him. But we thank God for going to have some of that preaching the Word of God and going on.
Amen.
And doing the work of the Lord. We pray that every one of you, amen, we don't celebrate Christmas we don't celebrate the pagan holiday, but amen, some of you be going places this evening and tomorrow. Be careful on the highway.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you, it is terrible.
Amen.
You can't, if you go to Walmart, you can't even, I'm going to tell you something, if you are scared of COVID, you better not go to Walmart. Because I'm telling you, it's bad.
Yeah.
The church we've been talking about, we need revival. We need a revival.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Amen. Pray that Brother Sebastian, I think the last name is spelled, well, it's T-A-P-I-E, I think it is. And he's going to be with us, a young preacher. I've heard him preach, not in person, but I've heard him preach online. And
he just called me old.
He's a good preacher.
Well, you are older than he is. Amen. But I remember the days when I was back in that age. Amen. But I remember after getting the COVID that I stood up here to preach. And all of a sudden, God gave me a brand new, fresh breath of air in my lungs. And I tell you, if you've never had a problem breathing, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you've ever had a problem with breathing,
yeah.
Amen. And God give you that fresh breath,
oh, yeah.
Fresh
yeah.
Air
yeah.
Right. In your lungs.
Yes,
amen. You don't know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Henson. I'm sorry that the rest of our folks weren't here to hear it. Amen. They can, some of them may be watching on Facebook. I don't know. Some, just, amen, doing whatever they want to do. Some will. But thank God that they're watching it on Facebook and Vimeo. You can go back and watch. You can go back on Vimeo and watch our sermons. We have over 300 sermons on Vimeo than the Apostolic Lighthouse Church does. You can go back for years and watch, amen, the sermons that are preached on this. And I pay for that, but it's worth it if somebody out there can hear about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A man called me from Kentucky when I preached on about the Godhead and all, and I preached on be not deceived. God is not mocked. He sent me a text, Brother Knowles, and he said, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Watson, because I got hurt in the church and I was going to a church that I knew I shouldn't go to. And so he said, but come Sunday morning, I'll be in Apostolic Church on Sunday morning. So let's pray that souls out there hear the Word of God and are changed by it.